So the reason we put Leo up next is that it's the opposite. It's, you know, it's right across from Aquarius. You know, it's the resonant polarity with Aquarius. Leo, Aquarius. This has been on my mind a lot recently because the whole White Lion trip is bringing this out. It's like the relationship between the human, Aquarius, and the lion. And the way in which the lion and the human once had an extremely noble and amazing connection. The elimination of the lion, as far as I'm concerned, is the elimination of the human. Their souls are intertwined on a lot of levels. Anyway, so Leo, fire, self-interest. Now the how is this self-interest? Well, the way I defined Leo before was it's having the experience of being creator for its own sake. It's the sovereignty of the self. And Leo is the very place on the wheel of life that pisses off theocrat religions the most. You know, the ones that need priests. The ones that need intermediaries. There's this long history of where there might be some Sufi mystic, you know, that goes into a trance or is in that moment of rapturous openness and says, God! You know, you get what your own divinity. And then you're killed on the spot for blasphemy. This has happened. I sometimes argue through the, not anymore, not in a long time, but I used to have these arguments with more mainstream Christians about, and the thing that pissed them off the most about the New Age movement was this issue. You know, that you all think you're God. Well, gee, what, so, but you need to go through the priest. You need to go through Jesus. You know. Anyway, it can be a rather major theological issue. The history of Leo is kind of interesting. And you have to actually go back about. This is kind of like going into the Hall of Records. You kind of have to go back about 5,000 or 6,000 years to really get what the original essence of Leo was. It was the time period in history when there were legitimately really different bloodlines. And it would be, it's the reason why, say, the family of the Pharaoh, after a period of time, they were all inbred, you know? I mean, it's like they married their sisters and so on. They had to keep it in the bloodline. It's also the thing that was at the basis of the caste system in India. Keeping the different bloodlines separate. And in the origin of the Leo traditions, the members of these royal families, or the Brahmin caste, or however you want to look at this elite group, they did in fact model for the rest of humanity the best qualities that a human being could have. And as it was beautifully described, by the way, these theories are described by Lawrence Gardner in a number of his books, that the original purpose of royalty was to serve the people. So it's not like the shadow of Leo. The shadow of Leo, to say it in a very simple way, I'm God and you're not. You know, like we're the elite and you're the proletariat. It was a separate bloodline, but then, and I think it's very fitting I should bring this in right now because we went from Aquarius to Leo. There's this thing in esoteric literature called the Aquarian Dispensation. Have you ever heard of the Aquarian Dispensation? So this actually goes back 5,000 or 6,000 years, when the elite groups, the royal families, they knew that we were going down into density, that the bloodlines would essentially be corrupted. But they saw it as a good thing, which is that in time, the program for infinity, which was in the royal bloodlines, would be spread to everybody on the planet. That was the Aquarian dispensation. And that when we had a 1/4 turn of the wheel, like where we are now, it would, that prophecy will be fulfilled, which is why in esoteric Christianity, the second coming is not Jesus coming back, it's the recognition that we all are that. That's the Aquarian dispensation. So there was an awareness among the elite that this would happen. But Leo represents in its pure form this connection directly to divinity, the knowledge that we, in fact, the experience that we are God. God, goddess, I mean, in other words, creator aspect. You can see easily how that can fall into shadow. Which is why, in addition to I'm God, you're not, we would find the shadow of Leo, including things like entitlement, feeling special, like we've never seen that before, right? But for those, say, who have Leo Moon, have been Leo in the past, it's what can understand how that could have happened. Why did I get kicked out of the kingdom? What did I do wrong? Well, I always like to say that the best analogy for how this operated is another one of the most important and best-known spiritual stories. It is the story of Prince Siddhartha, born to an elite family in the compound. And the parents want to keep him from experiencing what the rest of humanity is experiencing. Prince Siddhartha says, "The hell with this, I want to find out." So he chooses to leave the compound. He wasn't kicked out, he chose to go. That began the journey, including going into the underworld, of how he became the Buddha. Chose to leave the compound. Whenever I run into people with Leo Moon who had like Saturn or Pluto or, you know, hard aspects to Leo Moon, I tell them that story. And I try to get them to realize that they chose it. It wasn't the fact that they are being punished for anything. They're chosen to enter the underworld, sometimes it's as simple as, yeah, this life you have to work for a living. You know, because if you're in the royal family, no. In fact, actually, see, Leo is also not relational. For women, it's part of the Amazon category. How do we understand this? Well, let's say you're the daughter of the king. Daddy, I want that one. Anything you want? Daughter. So there's actually, even if the person had a really good heart, there's no vulnerability. There's no risk. No risk. Or the other, there's two models for Leo history. One is royalty, what I was describing. You know, either way, like the Brahmin caste or the Pharaoh's family, you know, original royalty. But the other is an original and pure form of celebrity. You know, like someone who really is a prodigy. Someone who is a high development, you know. They were born with absolute astounding charisma, talent, and so on. And if you happen to be like that, I'm not talking about celebrity today. I mean, the majority of those that are so-called celebrities today don't have necessarily any better qualities than anybody else. But I mean, a genuine prodigy. They have special privileges. They're deferred to. You know, so say you are this great celebrity. You know, hundreds would want to be with you. There's no risk, no vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Even with a good heart. I'm sure you can imagine that, you know, the sorrow sometimes of a good-hearted, rich person. Where they don't trust that anybody really loves them. And that can happen sometimes too. But that's a negative way of saying that it's not really easily a relational position. Because it's at its best, it's sovereign. At its best, it's autonomous. It knows itself through the self. Additionally, what we can say, just to make sure we're not looking at this from the perspective of ego, there's a lot of judgment against Leo. God, can you imagine the amount of space that person takes up? Or who in the hell do they think they are? There's a lot of projection onto Leo. But healthy Leo is really not egoic in that negative sense. So I like to use the example of a healthy two-year-old. Imagine for a moment that it is in fact possible on this planet at this time to be a healthy two-year-old. What would that look like? The two-year-old, let's say, who has loving, supportive, non-smothering parents, but parents that are also not judgmental or critical. So the two-year-old's out in the backyard, pretending, dancing, doing an art project, playing, making it up. They're not looking around to see if what they're creating corresponds to some more perfect creation. Just making it up because they can. A sort of beginner's mind, but also with audacity and courage and an original sense of self-love. I can do this. Leo rising people, do we have Leo rising? Of course. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the reasons why I've always felt confident with the way that I shared with you about the script material, that the rising sign is what you're moving toward, as opposed to mainstream astrology that say, oh, it's your persona. Oh, it's how you look. Oh, it's how you appear in the world. Things like that. It's because the great majority of people that I've known in my life with Leo rising are, at first, and maybe for a long period of time, are really scared to be out there.
George Bush?
Well, we'll get to him in a minute. I'm glad you mentioned him, because I mean, it's a shadow story. But but every Leo rising, once they try and get over the fear, it's like, all right, this feels good to step into that space of radiant inspire. Leo at its best is creating the space for everyone else to be everything they can be. For one's own confidence. When you're around somebody that loves themselves in a really healthy way, it's wonderful to be around that person. It's not egoic. It's not like, who the hell does that person think they are? That's actually how Leo really is. Not a shadow. So, if people are beginners with Leo, there's nothing else on the chart that's Leo. They're Leo rising. And this is true for any of the rising signs. If you're a beginner, you're likely to go through the minefields associated with that mystery school. Probably of all of them, the self-interest signs probably have the greatest challenges there. Wait till we get to Scorpio. George Bush, Junior. Okay. Leo rising. Sun sign. Because we're speaking of the rising sign. So he's a beginner with Leo. Now, what are some of the things Joel George did when he was president?
Killing many people.
But his approach to it is, I'm the decider. And God told me to do it. Well, do we really want a beginner Leo rising practicing on a whole country or the world? Leave him to practice on the frat that he was in, where they sent him out to buy the beer. He did a good job at that. I know. We could actually do that analysis on all the presidents. In fact, here's the wild thing. I should have mentioned this. Every Democratic candidate for the last four elections who made it to run for president, every one of them had a Gemini moon. Every one of them. Not a good thing. You can't tell where they're really coming from.
Great for politics.
For winning, Al Gore, John Kerry, Barack Obama, all Gemini moons. In fact, in the last election, where they were having the primaries, every other candidate for the Democrats was a Gemini moon. The only one who didn't was a Pisces moon. And that was Dennis Kucinich. Pisces.
Scorpio moon.
I'm speaking of the male candidates. Mm-hmm. Hillary and Scorpio. Venus and Scorpio also. Hillary. Yes, it would be. By the way, what happened with Clinton is really intriguing. This is an amazing astrological story. 2 months before the election, the information was leaked about his birth time, so the assumption was he was a certain rising sign. A month before the election, a different birth time came out, and then after he won the election, they said, no, actually, this is my birth time. And it turned out that basically the new birth time they gave showed Jupiter going over his Libra rising on the day of his election. Before that, nobody knew he was Libra rising. Very strange and curious story.
Hmm.
No, I don't. So, for women, Leo, Venus and Leo is what I'm looking at now. I think we did enough with the Leo moon. Venus and Leo means this is a version of the goddess called Amazon Queen. We already saw the Sagittarian Amazon, this Vision Quest Amazon. Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius are the Amazons. Again, Amazon means a woman whose identity is based upon her accomplishments, her achievements, and her freedom. But the Leo version is Amazon Queen, meaning leading woman, star, inspirer, charismatic leading woman, inspiring confidence in others by one's intuitive and spontaneous ability to create and perform. So, clearly, if a man is in a relationship with an Amazon woman, what would be his best strategy? Love her that way. Get off on her being a charismatic superstar.
What is the Venus and Leo woman want to be valued for?
That, what I just said.
Her ability to shine.
Yeah, and to have a strong will, and to be actional. It's an actional. The Amazonian version of the feminine is actional. it's called solar feminine. We talked about that the other day. So you certainly, it's the same example I gave before. You're not going to want to project on that woman that she's your mother. No man who's with a woman with Venus and Leo should ever try to control her or change her. You know, basically get off on her strength.
That would also apply to the ascending ones.
Totally. Yeah.
Does this also need a lot of grace?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. He said, do they respond to praise?
Yeah.
The very poignant thing about if you're with a man with Mars and Leo, Leo rising, if you're with a woman with Venus and Leo, Leo rising, if you give them praise, how special you are, how absolutely lovable you are, how powerful and amazing you are, it does not go to their head. As a matter of fact, it makes them like the healthy two-year-old, you know? It makes them vulnerable and available. to give them those kind of strokes is a really magical technique. Yeah. Here we have an additional, if we look at it with Mars and Leo, if a man has Mars and Leo, then it's a similar issue. But what if a woman is projecting Mars in Leo? So this is a woman with a Mars in Leo.
You better learn how to perform, dude.
Well, usually the fate of women with Mars in Leo is they go after the golden boys. They go after the superstars. They go after the charismatic alpha golden boys. And if they live in their shadow and they have Leo, then they're, you know, going to be in deep trouble. It ends up being competitive. And ultimately, the issue for Mars and Scorpio is to, for woman, is to become more that herself. Whether it's say Leo, Mars and Leo, to become more that herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Become more Amazonian. Now, you could, of course, have your cake and eat it, too. I mean, depending on the rest of the chart, you know, why not be with a golden boy? But you basically are not depending on that for your happiness.
Yeah, be with him, but know that you're better than me.
Okay. Does that give you some flavor about Leo?
Yes.
I want to try to do one more.
Okay.